Oh my. Here, let me wipe the dust off my microphone. There we go. And here too. Okay, that's better. It's been a while. I so missed you guys, and I really appreciate all of the emails and messages that you've left me on the website. And I was not swallowed by a black hole like this Kraftborg, but it would seem like I was. Basically, I presented my thesis in the first week of October, and it's taken me until today, which is the 23rd, to get to a point where I feel comfortable taking any waking moment that I'm not at work to do something other than revise my thesis. Basically, I had some technical issues I had to address, and I had to record a beginning and an ending, which I just did. And I said, well, after I do that, I get to podcast because I'll already have the mic all set up and all. So I am very excited to be back with you guys. And I meant to, I think if you've been reading the website, you've seen my little ambitious list of projects and comments and things to tackle today. And I am going to do them. The only thing that will take me a little bit longer is the photography of the cast-on that I want to do. But I am going to try to do that today because it's nice and sunny out, and I think it will be easy for me to do. But my usual camera is actually in the shop, so I don't know how well my second camera will do, but I'm going to try it. So, on with thing first is the book review. Yay! Also, I would like to thank the very, very kind anonymous donor who gave me $5. Unfortunately, the system that I use for my tip jar does not allow me to know who gave me the money, and I guess it's too much to ask that person to speak up or raise their hand, but I really do appreciate it. It made me so excited, and I had been feeling a little bit left out because I was hearing Brenda Dane and Lyman Violet thank people on their shows for money, and I hadn't gotten any. But I also realized that I hadn't said what I would use the money for. And I am, anyone who knows me knows that I am a big, fat, monster buyer of knitting books. I have way more knitting books in my house than I can actually use. And I even have some that I don't even like anymore, which I don't know what to do because with cookbooks, I've done this with cookbooks too, although knitting has pretty much taken over from cookbooks. I would actually buy a cookbook kind of on a whim and keep it for years and years and think, gosh, I never used that cookbook. What? Why do I still have it? And then after a long period of time, I would finally find a use for it. And there have been a couple of vegetarian cookbooks I had that were like that. So I am really just not willing to part, even with books I don't like. But anyway, I intend to use any money given to the podcast right now for books, which I can then review. And I'll keep them because I'm like that. Although if I end up with more than one of the same book, obviously I will give one away. But first off, a book that I have looked at for a long time. And actually when I was first knitting, when I first started knitting again, because I did used to knit when I was 5 and 6 and 7, but I never learned how to cast on or cast off. And so the girl at my daycare would do it for me, or my after school care. And I think she stopped working there. Either she stopped working there or I stopped going there because I just stopped knitting after I didn't have her around anymore. And I would just knit scarves and I was a happy little camper. But I didn't have anyone else to learn from again. And so I just stopped after that. And then when I was a sophomore in college, I decided I needed something to do that was physical and crafty to keep me sane, because working on a paper for 5 hours only got me more paper, and I was feeling really hollowed out and tired all the time. And so I walked down the street. I lived in Massachusetts at the time, and even in my little tiny college town, there was a little yarn shop on the end of the street. So I walked down there and bought a little booklet about how to knit, and I bought some blue yarn and some needles, and I made a very, very small blue shawl for my sister. And that was my first new knitting project. Anyway, I started going to the library in my college and doing interlibrary loans for just about any knitting book that I could find. I would get a knitting book and I would read it. And in the back, at least for the older ones, in the back, they used to have a list of other references or further reading. And I would just go, and if I found a book, I would go look up all the references from that book. And so it kind of led me to a bunch of different books, and especially lots of ones that weren't even really available at the time. And one of them was Knitting from the Top, and I could only find it in a library in Northampton, Massachusetts. And I actually went there once when my sister was visiting me, and it's this beautiful old stone library. And I just kind of picked it up and read it for probably half an hour, and I thought it was really cool, and I photocopied about 3 pages of it, which talked about knitted skirts, and then I went on with my life and kind of forgot about it. And then this, about 3 months ago, I saw it in my local yarn shop, and I thought, huh, I remember that book. But then I thought, well, I think I photocopied the only part I wanted. foolish girl. Because when I had the 5 extra dollars clanging around in my pocket, I went to the store again and I flipped through it and I looked very closely, and it's a lot more than just knitted skirts. And what else is interesting is, from a historical fashion perspective, it has a lot of styles in it that we think of as being very modern, very 2006 or 2004, but apparently they have been around for a long, long time. So I'm just going to flip through, and like any other interweave book, of course, it's beautiful little drawings showing you what to do and what happens. It's very similar in design and layout to any Elizabeth Zimmerman book that you would get nowadays. The copy I've got is a soft cover. I don't think there is a hard cover, and of course, it's printed by Schoolhouse Press. And the original copyright was in 1972, and it looks like it was reprinted in 1996, although I really haven't seen it around. So I don't know if that's because big bookstores don't carry Schoolhouse Press books, or if it's because I'm just a ninny. It's possible I'm a ninny. Anyway, so of course there's the classic raglan pullover, which, okay, yeah, top down. Classic raglan cardigan, same thing. Really good photography showing, a lot of different kinds of increases which you could use on your raglan, and a description of them of, let's see, I'm going to say how many. It looks like 10. Yeah, there's 10 of them, which is really fascinating, because if you only know one, you're really limited. And this way you can kind of pick the look you want for your raglan increases and go with it. There's also great little bits of information, like how to pick up stitches off of stockinette stitch to knit a cardigan button band, how to make a bolero jacket, how to make a bed jacket or a brunch coat, which is apparently just a longer bed jacket, how to make a pocket, square neck cardigan, one button jacket, just general ideas about how to do all of these things. Like, I've been wanting a little simple bolero jacket for the longest time, and whenever I find a pattern in a magazine or in a book, it's never quite what I want. So I think I could use this book as a starting point to make my own. I'm very excited about it. And the third chapter is starting with a seamless cape. So if you're into capes or ponchos, you can just go for it. And then there's the chapter about skirts and different kinds of skirts. And then there's pants, which actually, in the Big Girl Knits book, I really liked the pants they had in that book, just for laying around kind of pants around the house. This is my favorite part, though. On page 67, there's actually bell bottoms, of course, culottes. I don't know how to say that. Culottes, I think. Knickers and gaucho pants, which, if you pay attention, are actually those like short straight pants that everyone wears now that are knit. They're actually in this book, which I think is hilarious. Harem pants, shorts, and of course underpants and long johns, just lots of stuff. And then, of course, the sleeveless sweater or vest and a fantastic description and pictures of the cast-on I'm going to talk about later, which is here called the Invisible Cast-On. It's also known as the Temporary Cast-On. And it's great. On page 72 is when she describes it very, very well. And sleeveless sweaters, different kinds of necks. Although my favorite thing about this book right now, besides the little bolero instructions that I want to use, a seamless set-in sleeve knit from the top. From the top. And there's actually two or three, I think, different ways of doing it, which I think is just fantastic. Seamless saddle shoulder from the top. Yoke saddle shoulder. How to do it a certain way. Kimono sleeve, which I think I would probably... Also, batwing sleeves, which I'm not really so interested in. Which I'm not really even sure what I would call that sleeve. But there's also a little description of a baby jacket with straight sleeves. A square set or peasant sleeve, dropped shoulder ski sweater. I'm just flipping through here. And then caps. So it's almost as, I would say it's as thorough as Elizabeth Zimmerman's chapter on seven seamless shoulder shapings. Woo, what a mouthful. In, I believe it's Knitter's Workshop? Yeah, it's Knitter's Workshop. It's that thorough, and it's from the top. Which I love. I just love it. Because the wonderful thing about knitting from the top is that it's so much easier to make sure that your sizing is correct. It's so much easier to stop increases before it gets too big, or keep increasing if it's too small, or just different things. It's just wonderful. I love it. So she has a couple different caps, and also a really great chapter about how to match patterns. So like if you have a pattern, either a color work or a lace, how to center it correctly. And then the very last chapter is other helpful hints and other miscellany, which is great. Like to join cast on stitches firmly into a ring. And then about washing wool hanks after if you've pulled the wool out of a garment. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff. I just love it, and it's a great book. I'm so excited that I have it, and I am so happy to report that it's so great. I was a little scared off by the cover. I thought it looked a little dated, and it might even be the cover from 1972. I just don't like it. I don't like the colors. I don't like the pattern of the sweater. I think it's a little cute that she's knitting the sweater as she's wearing it, but it did not strike me as good. Don't be scared by the cover, really. Open it up, look at it. I think that this would be one of the top five books for me in terms of design. I would want this. And I would want a couple of the Stitch Dictionaries from Barbara Walker. And I would want, every book from Elizabeth Zimmerman, which I think actually is more than five, but, you know, whatever. Dozen. Knitter's Dozen. I would definitely suggest this book for anyone who is thinking of striking out into designing their own documents. God, what am I saying today? Blech. Who wants to design their own garments, or who just, you know, knows how to do a sweater but wants to do a bolero or a skirt or pants. If you're nervous about the way knitted pants might look on an adult, by the way, and I can understand that, I think that there's nothing cuter than a toddler or a baby in little bitty pants. So, you know, if you'd want to knit pants but are afraid that you would look like three kinds of crap in them, knit them for a kid, you know. And they won't take very long, and they'll be super cute, and everyone will think that you're a genius. So that's my review. The book is called Knitting from the Top by Barbara G. Walker. It's made by Schoolhouse Press. I believe you can buy it from their website, but of course, as always, if your local yarn shop carries it, please buy it from them. My copy was $20, just $20. Really great. And I love on the back, they have little reviews about Barbara Walker. And there's one from Elizabeth Zimmerman that says, "Words fail me. The woman is a genius." You know, what more could you want? All right. Today's show is in the Fibonacci sequence, number 5. And I'm going to talk about my favorite cast on. I think I said that about the last one, too. They're both my favorite, just for different things. This cast on is fantastic for if you want the top and the bottom of something like a scarf or the beginning and the end to look just alike. You can actually use this cast on. And then when you get done, come back and pick up live stitches from it and cast off again so that it will look exactly the same on both sides. That's great for that. It's also great for if you're doing a double-sided garment, like an ear warmer, but you don't want to use actual double knitting, then you can use it to knit one side and then pick up the stitches and knit the other and then cast them off together. I actually just did that, although it came out way too small for me and a usual gauge mishap. So it's great for that. And also, I just generally like it. It's very versatile, and it's one of those things in knitting that is supposed to be so hard, but it's really not. And it could be called invisible or temporary. And there are also tricks around it. Like there's actually a crochet cast on where you start with a crochet chain and then you pick up the stitches from that. And then in the end, you pull the crochet chain out. I don't do that because I simply cannot crochet. It's impossible for me. So this is how I do it. It starts pretty much the same way as the long tail cast on. Although, again, the easiest way when you're starting is to have two different yarns, similar weights, different colors. And in fact, if I'm doing anything, say worsted weight or thicker, I'll just use a worsted cotton, like a white worsted cotton, as my base because it's easier to pull out. You don't want your base, your other color or your waist yarn to be nubbly or sticky or fuzzy, because in the end, you're usually going to just remove it. Although sometimes you can use it to start a knit one, purl one, or knit purl two, blah, 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 to start a ribbing, and then you might want to just leave it there. But it's actually perfect for a knit one, purl one ribbing, because after you've done it, when you look at it, it looks like a knit purl already, which is just great. And the only danger there is leaving that edge too tight from pulling the waist yarn too tight when you go to finish it off. So anyway, you start the same way as with the continental or long tail cast on, with your waist yarn toward you or lower. Actually, I'm going to say toward you because it just makes it easier for me. Put your waist yarn toward you and your working yarn away from you and hold your needle in your right hand if you're right-handed. Do your OK sign and grab everything just the same way that you did for the other cast on. And now all you're going to do is take your needle tip, your right needle tip, around. Okay, so hold your yarn in such a way so that as you're looking at it, your waist yarn is underneath and your working yarn is on top. Okay, now take your needle tip and move it, loop it around toward you, over the top of your working yarn, back to the center, and do the same thing to the bottom, over the top, toward you, and then around the bottom to the center. Okay, and then again to the top, so up and over and back. It's gonna look like a mess until after those three steps, you take your left thumb, which holds your waist yarn, and flip it right over the top of the needle. And voila, you'll have two stitches. So that's why I'm putting this in with a 5 show, because you basically do 3 motions with your needle, flip your thumb over, and you get 2 stitches. two for three. 2 + 3 = 5. It's really cool. And once you learn it, it's lightning fast. And don't worry, I really will do photos so you can see what I mean. I'm going to describe it again more slowly and hopefully more clearly. Put your yarn in such a way that your waist yarn is toward you on your thumb and your working yarn is away from you on your finger, okay? And your needle with its two slip knots is on your is in your right hand, okay? Take your needle toward you, over the top of the working yarn, under the working yarn, and then back to the center, okay? Again, needle toward you, below the waist yarn, and then back to the center. And then again, over the waist yarn, over the working yarn, toward you, up and around, and then back to the center. And then take your left thumb, which holds the waist yarn, and flip it over the needle until it comes around, the yarn will come around, and then you should see on the needle two loops of your working yarn, okay? So once again, sounds really complex, it's really not. Just relax, and the other really good thing about using two colors is you can see right away if you've screwed up. So there's that. I'm also going to put up on the website a pattern I wrote for my sister in 2001, which I have not updated. And unfortunately, the links in the pattern have gone the way of the dodo. They are not there anymore. So unfortunately, that just won't work. But I'll put it up on the website as a PDF, and you can download it. I called them Miloves. They could also be called convertible mittens or sniper's mittens or rifleman's gloves. Basically, it's a glove base with a mitten top, and it actually incorporates this cast-on into it. So, you know, download it, try it. If you have any problems, please comment on the website or email me, and I will address them as soon as I can. So there's that. And also, I got a comment a couple of days ago, I think, about how to estimate yarn amounts for knitting without a pattern. I mean, that's, for me, that's really the biggest issue, is you think, you know, I could really design this sweater, but how much yarn will I need? You know, I think that's what really keeps a lot of people leaning on patterns, is that the pattern says you need 5 balls and you go buy 5 balls. And that all works pretty well, although, of course, there are always problems. By the way, if anyone has knit Icarus in a Knit Picks yarn, please, please, please email me or comment on the website and let me know how much yarn it took. I'm really having a hard time figuring out, because a lot of people, I think, I've heard say that they ran out. And it's only supposed to be 800 yards, I think, of yarn. But I don't know, it just makes me nervous, and I really want to make it for a gift for someone, and I need to not run out, because I'm on kind of a tight deadline here. So, Anyway, I found a great website by a lady whose name, I don't recall, let me look, her name. I do remember that I thought I was going to have a hard time pronouncing it, because it's one of those names you don't quite know. Carol Wyche? 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 It's W-Y-C-H-E. I'm sorry, Carol. Anyway, I found her website. She's got a great site about determining how much yarn you need to knit with your hand spun, although you could apply the same idea to any commercial yarn. Very well described. It makes a lot of sense. And I'll have a link up on the website. And so that's that. I hope that answers the question well enough. If anyone wants clarification or has a specific problem, please, please, please leave a comment, and hopefully I will be able to either answer it myself or find someone like Carol who already has. Okay, just a slight digression. My dad listens to the podcast when he can't sleep. I don't know how much of a compliment that is. But he thinks it's quite funny that I laugh at my own jokes. And I feel like telling him that most knitting podcasters do that. but I don't really want, I don't know, I guess I haven't tried to defend myself from laughing at my own jokes, but anyway, this is when I admit that I always buy far, far, far too much yarn, to the point where I've actually had enough yarn to make two complete sweaters from the same yarn, which I don't mind, I think that works, but if you are someone who, like, or if you happen to buy just two or three balls too many, or one ball too many, or you just don't like to knit that much with the same yarn, or you don't like wearing nothing but blue all the time, which is what I do, then you might look at giving the yarn away to a charity. And one of the ones I've just recently found is called Warm Woolies, and I don't remember if I've talked about it before on the show, but they actually take wool yarn. So if wool yarn or novelty yarn or knitting needles size 8 and up, and I'll have a link on the show. They're based in Denver, Colorado, and I believe they give knitted goods to orphanages in Europe and also to people on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, which is, let me tell you, very cold. They just say please no acrylic at all, because they really aim for super, super, super warm clothing. And in fact, I think they said that some of the people that they give slippers to would otherwise not have any shoes at all. So overestimate your yarn needs and donate. Or a lot of yarn shops, if you keep your receipt, will actually take returns if you haven't even opened the yarn up or removed a ball or done anything like that, a ball band, then a lot of them will take returns. Check with the stockist before you buy if you want to do that, but I should admit that I've never done that. Never, ever, ever. But so that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about this week. I'm really hoping to get back on a good normal schedule, although right now at work we are understaffed, and so I am now going to work every third Saturday instead of every fourth Saturday, and I might not get a chance to do a show every week, but I'm definitely going to try, and I love you guys, and I hope that the show is helpful to you. Please drop me a line if you want to, because that really keeps me going. On weeks when I'm kind of busy or I just don't feel like it or I feel too nervous to podcast, it's those little voices in the wilderness that keep me going. So if you like this show, please do let me know. Also, I wrote up a little list some time ago of 5 ways to survive your holiday knitting. And some of these tips, oh, how shall I say? Oh, wait, I only got 4. Oh, man. I thought I had 5, and now I look like a weirdo. Let's see. I think I can come up with... Okay, wait, one more I can come up with right now. Candles. Oh, I just said it. Oh, well. Okay. Number 1. Remember that housekeeping is for people who don't knit. 2. Hats do not come in pairs. If you're thinking of socks, consider hats. Remember that people have birthdays, too. So if you don't get to their fancy special Christmas knitting or holiday knitting right now, then you can always give them a book and give them a lovely knitted gift on their birthday. Remember that scarves and socks are false economies. They actually have a lot of stitches in them. And so unless you have a lot of transcontinental flying to do, you might not have time to do them all. Gaiters and slippers are much faster, the slippers even more so if they are felt or felted. Also, people do really enjoy other kinds of gifts altogether, like candles, but actually one of the fastest and most fun knitted gifts I've ever made was actually like a knitted bath poof. And then I went and bought some fancy soap for the person, and they thought that that was just the coolest thing. And especially since they lived in a warm climate, they didn't exactly need a wool hat from me. So that's all of my words of advice about that. I've already said that the end of the year is nigh. I'll say it again. The end of the year is nigh. Get knitting or get realistic. Probably both. You should really do both. Anyway, I'm trying to do both. Oh my God, the troubles I've had this year. I ran out of yarn for this one project. I ordered it. It is now a month later, and apparently my order has been lost. I emailed the company, and hopefully they'll make it right, so I'm not going to complain about them too much because it's not really their fault if UPS lost the package, but oh man, I'm hurting because I need the needles to do another project that I'm doing, and after I do those two projects, I'm done. So here's hoping. Have a great week and keep knitting.